Hello, nice to see you all. How are you all doing? Yes, great, fantastic. You're visiting this morning. A warm welcome to you. My name is Adam. I'll put a few little bits and bobs there for later. Great. As a lot of you will know, we're going through, in the next few weeks, the whole sort of subject matter of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to today's church? What does it mean to us living in the 21st century? And we're all going to consider, perhaps, what the Bible says and how relevant the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to us. And last week, if you remember, Sarah spoke about the gift of tongues. And Julian has done a fantastic teaching, and there's a box set available of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so be aware, if ever you want to have a little bit more of an in-depth sort of background to it, Julian's talks are spot on. Each talk is like about an hour long, and it's full of funny stories and illustrations and brilliant teaching. So please do, if you get a chance, get hold of one of those. Okay, so every year, Christmas comes, and my children get excited. I'm sure you're all sort of have similar backgrounds there. And the kids just really love this sort of build-up to Christmas. And Naomi, my daughter, her birthday is in January, so she loves to receive gifts and all the rest of it. Well, the latest thing for Naomi is these little things called Zuzu pets, okay? Zuzu pets, I don't know if you've heard of them. But she, for Christmas, would have loved a Zuzu pet, all right? And I didn't really sort of know about them or anything like that. So I did a bit of research and actually found one. Eventually got one in Toys R Us, and it was a little black and white. It's a little hamster, basically. It's like this little rat without... It's a rat without a big tail, really. And it makes these little noises. And Naomi really wanted, with all her heart, to have one of these little fluffy pets. Shall I introduce you to one of them? Isn't that nice? Now then, I made a big mistake. I called this little hamster Pinky, but I was quite wrong, and that's not his real name. It's actually called Sweetie. All right? So Naomi, when I said, can I borrow Sweetie for this morning's talk, she was all excited, and she was talking the little thing, saying, do you know you're going to do the talk this morning in church? So, can you hear that? There we go. So if you're listening on the internet, that was a little Zuzu pet called Sweetie. It was just on the talk this morning. Okay, so as a father, I like to bless my kids. When they ask for things, I like to give them good things, whether it be a present for Christmas or for their birthday, and, you know, and occasions in between. But there's always this eager anticipation with the children to want, you know, something which means so much to them and this kind of thing. And to have an attitude which wants to anticipate and desire to receive a gift is something I feel we can all have in our lives. And we're going to explore a little bit today about having that eager desire for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, Sarah left us last week with she gave us some great verses in the Bible, and the last one that was on the little notes there was this from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Now, that is such a poignant verse there. If you can just sort of align ourselves with that encouragement from Corinthians this morning and take out two encouragements from that one verse. First of all, follow the way of love. Jesus taught, you know, the main sort of commandments, when he was questioned about what's the greatest commandment, quite basically wrapped up is this, to love God and to love each other. Quite simply, that is it. You know, the main way of living out our lives. So in this scripture here, the first part is to follow the way of love in our lives. And the second bit of it, desire gifts of the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11, it's quite a large verse. I won't go through that. But what I've done here is just summarized the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are mentioned in that verse in Corinthians. And I just put them there, just as a reference for us for a moment. So rather than reading the whole verse out, you'll find that these are the gifts which are described in Corinthians. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a gift of prophecy, a gift of faith, a gift of healing, a working of miracles, a discerning of spirits, a different kinds of tongues, an interpretation of tongues. Now, for me, I like to understand things simply. I'm not one of these who wants to go into the, you know, nth degree of detail to understand something. I know there's people grinning, you know, because I know they love all that. But for me, I'm a simple kind of guy. I like to get the facts, and, you know, that's good enough for me. And here, there's some brilliant gifts which God encourages us to use. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are something that God gives to us. And why not? And why not? Because God wants to be involved in our lives. He's not a God who is far off, a God who doesn't want to know the human race. God is a creator God who loves to love us, who loves to be involved in our lives, who loves to bring refreshing into our lives and into our hearts to help us in sticky and difficult situations. And that is something which we can take great encouragement from with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that God actually does want to be involved in our lives. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, Sarah mentioned about that a little bit last week. So for us, let's know God more and more, and especially through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is just to settle our hearts a moment and not to make things too complicated, because God just wants to have a relationship with us and us with him. And that is quite simple and easy to understand. So, the Bible tells us that these gifts are available to all believers. And one step further, that we can actually stir up these gifts from God. So, I don't know about you, but I've mentioned before that I love tomato soup. Heinz tomato soup, lovely. What a simple, quick meal, and it's really nice, isn't it? And my parents taught me to cut up little shreds of bread and just drop it in the soup. I've grown out of that now. I just butter it and dip it in, and easy. But when you're making the soup and you're warming it up, if you just leave it there on the hob, boiling away, little air bubbles pop up and it starts spurting all over the shop. Has anyone experienced Heinz tomato soup spurting up all over the place? Raise your hands up straight away so I can see. Oh, there's a good 60% of you. So if anyone from Heinz is listening to this talk, see if you can come up with something to stop tomato soup spraying all over the place. But a way around that is to keep an eye on it and to stir in the soup, isn't it? So keep that heat constant and equal throughout, and that stops the air bubbles and the thing boiling up and little bubbles going all over the place. So we're encouraged to stir up the gifts within us. So not only to desire, but don't be afraid to try and stir up these gifts from the Lord. So I've got a few scriptures here which just sort of demonstrate how and why we should do these things. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. And there's two more. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. And that final one there, which I just mentioned about, stir up the gift of God from Timothy there. So for us as people, as human beings, we can spiritually position ourselves before God. And how do we do that? It's quite simply praying to God, being open to him, trusting him, believing in him, and in his activity for our lives. So it's a positioning of ourselves of actually recognizing who God is and what he wants to accomplish in our lives, that God is interested and God is involved. And for us, you know, it's a two-way thing, that we actually hold and possess and carry something which can mean so much to those around us, to the world in which we live in. When we're hearing from God through the prophetic, that we can bring something in and around us that will benefit and bring value to our friends and family around us. Now, let me take you back about 3 years ago. Sean and I were driving down to Llanelli. I think it was like a Sunday afternoon, perhaps after a meeting, and we had the children in the car. And going down, I was driving, one of the kids was in the front, but Sean was messing about with the other two in the back, you know, and having a chat and having a bit of fun and all the rest of it. So before going to my parents for a bit of grub down in Llanelli there, we stopped in Trostra Park to do a little bit of shopping. Sian needed to get something from Next. So she's in a bit of a rush, a bit of a tiz, pulled up, going to my parents for grub, and Sian had to get something quickly. So she'd been playing with Naomi in the back of the car. Sian got out of the car. She started walking off. I thought, what's she doing there? Sian had Naomi's plastic princess tiara on her head after playing in the back of the car. All right. Now, she was obviously unaware of this. And as I was about to pull the window down and say, I thought, oh, this will be fun. So I didn't bother. So I let her trot off with this tiara on her head to go into next, all the rest. So she was gone a good 10 minutes. And me and the boys were having a bit of a laugh and this kind of thing. So I thought, oh, probably she's gone in there now. Someone's told her and she's been all embarrassed. Well, 10 minutes later, Sian comes walking back to the car with this tiara still on her head. Brilliant. So she got in the car and said, that's nice. Did you just buy that in next? I said, what? That on your head. And the horror and shock fell upon her. It was amazing. One of the funniest moments of my life. And crew, Will and I. But yes, got a bit of fun. But Sian was totally, blissfully unaware of what she was carrying that day. And you know what? Sometimes us as God's children, as God's people, we're blissfully unaware of what God has put within our hearts. And I think today, the stirring up of what God has got for us through the Holy Spirit is so important to be aware of it, to carry it with us, and to be active in it as well. So be warned, those princess plastic tiara wearers. Okay, so let's ask God. Children, Naomi, Isaac, Sam are constantly asking me for things. They're always asking and wanting different things in life, whether it be attention or love and acceptance or gifts or whatever, or tea, sometimes a bit of cereal and all that. But they're always after something, you know. And for us, we can be like that to our Father. So in the act asking, there's also a doing as well. So we're willing to receive and being prepared to be used and to serve for God. So our gifts are to aid our personal walk as children of God, but also to bless others. Also to bless others. Now, in the scripture, it says about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that the gifts are to bless all, or to be, as the New King James Version puts it, for the profit of all, or in the NIV, given for the common good. So the gift of prophecy and all these different gifts, it's not just for me, myself, and I, but for the common good, for the church around us. And I've got there the gubbins of a Swiss watch. Just watching this really artisan program the other day, which I was forced to watch, there was all these artisan designers and people with real passion for their products. There was watchmakers, there was the engineers from Ferrari, and there was all these, you know, showing amazing creations of what they've been involved in. And, you know, I've just put that to represent the church, that in amongst all those details and the cogs and the little fixing and screws and springs and washers, within all that fantastic working, every little piece has got its part to play. That does not operate on its own. It needs every little intricate detail. It needs every little involvement. Every little part has got its job to play. And us as church, you know, that is the same. That we've all got a little part to play in the life of what we call church. And this morning, let's take that on board, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. We need to recognize as people, as individuals, that we have got so much to offer the church and to the world around us, that God has created us special, each of us. None of us have been made the same. We're all unique, special, and specific. And for us to continue to work that out in God is so important, and to work it out in church life is so fantastic. And for me, there's nothing better than a Rolex. Our friend in work, I haven't got one, so don't worry. A friend in work had been visiting China. And in China, it is really renowned for these guys can just knock up a copy of a watch within like weeks, you know. Very clever people. And my friend from work just brought me back a joking Rolex watch for me to see what it looked like. It was quite amazing. But that was like, it would be £30 rather than £3,000 or £4,000. But why can't the church, you know, be like a Rolex watch? You know, not just a bog standard watch, but we're God's church operating efficiently, amazingly, that we are a beacon to the world around us because we're a people who love each other, who care for one another, have compassion, and are looking out for those who are poor and in need, and we can bring something of God into the mix. So, breaking it down for today, we're going to look at the gift of prophecy, as mentioned in the earlier scripture, that follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So that's what we're going to look at now, just for the next few moments. I've got 3 points on it. So, could the gift of prophecy be the greatest gift? If Paul says to especially desire, eagerly want to operate out of a prophetic gift which the Holy Spirit brings to us. And the 3 points we're going to have a look at this morning is, what is prophecy? What is prophecy for? And how do I develop prophecy in my own life? So are you up for that? It's not going to take too long, a little 10 or 11 minutes now, and we'll be done. It's a good, quick sermon. Is that all right with you? Because this subject, you could talk about for ages and ages, and there's so much material out there, but we're going to have a nice honed experience this morning, okay? So what is prophecy? Prophecy is simply the communication of a direct word from God, to usually to give to someone else, or perhaps for ourselves as well, which Chloe explained brilliantly to the children this morning. That is it in a nutshell. What is prophecy? A message for God, for us, for another person. Okay? As simple as that. Maybe a sentence of words, a bit of direction in life, something that would encourage, a message from the Holy Spirit. How fantastic is that? What is prophecy for? It says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Prophecy for the building up of a person, of edifying someone or encouraging and equipping them in specific times. A God-inspired word or prophecy will bring encouragement, strength, or comfort to the recipient. Now, who here would love to be a carrier of God's comfort and strengthening and equipping to others? Raise your hands if you'd like to be part of that. Well, that is the majority of people, apart from those who are sleeping by now. Right then, put your hands up again. Right then, Pete is the first one. Right then, although the children are going to be having some sweets later, it's going to be your job to take responsibility of this gift. And it's not just for you, it's for the benefit of all those around you. And that's what the Holy Spirit would say to us through the gift of prophecy. That this gift, it's not just for you, although it will benefit you. It is for those around you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives. And of course, it's great to be part of that, to serve God and to want to eagerly desire this gift and want to serve others in the purposes of God. That is fantastic. And Pete there has taken up that responsibility with a smile on his face. I'm sure he's thinking about men. He can sneak in before anyone else sees him. But he's going to dish them out later on. I don't know if there's enough in there, Pete, so you're going to have to take the repercussions if someone goes without. Okay, so being efficient and faithful in our response to the prophetic voice of God. The prophetic voice of God deals with the issues of man's heart, whether a man or a woman, young or old. Now, I want to just illustrate and tell you a little bit about my story and my experience of the prophetic, and being on the receiving end of the prophetic words of God. Now, as a lot of you are aware, I first became a Christian when I was 17, okay? That's when I first prayed to God. And during that time, especially my early years of being a Christian, perhaps from the ages of 17 to 25, 26, 27, there was a lot of prophetic input into my life and into Sian's life. And there's many prophecies I can look back on and tell you, you know, how things have happened and progressed throughout life. Some happened within weeks, other things years later. And I'll just tell you a few quickly and see if you can catch the theme of that. Now, going back very early days, there's a guy from Linden who was prophesying over myself and Sian, and he said, I really see this kind of picture of your house, although he'd never been there before, and a really old chapel. And what I sense God is saying is that your house, your dwelling place, is a place of peace, is a place of comfort, and it's going to be a place where people will come along over the years and find a sense of security and belonging and peace. And that was really encouraging for a young couple, you know, to hear that, to be used in God in that way. And, you know, there's been many occasions where we've had the opportunity and pleasure to invite people around to our house and for that to take place. Another guy prophesied over me, a guy called Steve Lee, I think from Southampton. He said that God would break through my lack of confidence, that he would keep me humble and he would put great friends around me to help me in my developing years as a Christian. And it was so great because in those days I couldn't do anything. I was so paralyzed by nervousness and a lack of confidence. And then when he was prophesying over me, I was just thinking of Julian Assay and Rob and Tracy and Tim and Nicky and Zeno and Faye and Alan and Jill and all these guys who were supporting me in those times. We were like a little small group, really. But there was friends around, you know, just to help in those situations. That was really encouraging, really helped me to move on in confidence. Gerald Coates prophesied over me when I was about 21. And it was amazing. You're saying, God has really impacted your life at the age of 7 and the age of 17. And, you know, these are things, this guy doesn't even know me. And at the age of 7 was a time, a period in my life in primary school where my teacher, she must have been a Christian, because I can just remember sitting down, listening to Bible stories and really believing them, you know, wholeheartedly at the age of 7. And then at the age of 17 was a time when I'd prayed to Jesus and said, Jesus, you know, take control of my life. Sorry for the things that I've messed up and done wrong, but I trust you as my personal saviour. And that's when my relationship started in earnest with God. So these were amazing things. And Gerald went on to say, you know, about being involved in leadership at some stage in the future and being involved in using God's wisdom in my life. So those were great encouragements. Another guy, Graham Cook, he said, do not be fearful. Do not be paralysed by knowledge you think you don't have, but trust in God. Great releases of encouragement into my life. And then finally, the one I'll share with you, which has really impacted me as well, was going back, it must have been about 10 years ago. We've done presbyteries before where men or women who have got a specific prophetic gift and operate in that sort of environment, they prayed over me and Sian. And that day was quite amazing that we had, that was the day we had Sian's 20th week scan of Isaac. So that day was quite specific for us. And he was speaking into our lives, you know. And the one particular thing that really stuck with me, and there was many things that did, but he said that one day you're going to be broken from your current job and employment and you would go and work in the church full time. And this was 10 years ago that this took place. And the specific word that really sort of shook me up wasn't a bit about I'm leaving my job, I'm going to work for the church. It was this bit about being, you would be broken to do that. And I thought, oh no, what's that going to mean? Is that going to mean I'm going to have like a nervous breakdown or something and then start working for the church? You know, that was my first. But looking back, you know, what I put it down to, and I mentioned this to Dave Bright last week, so you won't be as surprised here. But I think the process started for me is when I broke my leg 3 years ago. That something changed in that time when I was off work for 4 months. To realise, you know, there's more to life outside of my current employers, you know. And it was a great time of reflection and spirituality. I don't know about you, if anyone has ever suffered physically with illness or, you know, something that has been difficult, I don't know about you, but your spiritual, you really get in tune with God, you know, as if you need something more than just an encouraging word from someone, which is really helpful, or, you know, a friend who will sort of get alongside you. But I was requesting and wanting so much more from God in those days and in those times that, you know, when there's times of difficulty and strife in our lives, I think we're really tuned in to the love of God, that we're really wanting something within our spirits. It's that our spirits are crying out for something more from God, that we need more God, and that's when the Holy Spirit will come and meet with us. And that time was a tremendous time of God moving in my life and in my heart. And although it was in like a painful sort of circumstance, looking back, you know, it didn't really matter about that. It's about the process afterwards and getting on with it. And Dave, you're publicly forgiven for breaking my leg, sitting there in your yellow jacket. But then going back a year and a half after that, you had your own little experience of breaking your leg, didn't you? Which I didn't do. All right? So we'll call it quits, all right? But yes, no, he was good. Him and Colin were holding my hand all the way there in the hospital. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Good memories.
Okay, so the prophetic voice of God will operate within our hearts and in our lives. The prophetic voice of God will bring esteem, love, and acceptance into the human heart. It will bring encouragement, excitement, challenge, comfort, edification, hope, and many things like that for us. So many times prophecy is also used to confirm maybe what has already been spoken into our lives. So sometimes some of us might want a little bit more than just that. And then you find out that God is speaking to us in more than just one occasion or one time. You know, maybe it'd be a friend's conversation, or you'd be reading something in the Bible and something would really strike you, and then someone may have an encouraging word of prophecy for you, and they all seem to tie up as if God is really speaking something into our hearts. So that's why it's so important to be open to God all the time, really asking, really receiving from him. Okay. Right, what I want to just mention here now is a passage from Joel, okay? And it's just to encourage us all as believers, just to reconfirm something. And it says this: I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Now, I just want you to just set your hearts a moment and think about that verse. I'm going to read it again in a moment. And just allow yourself to set yourself into that place of being one of those people. Because sometimes we doubt ourselves. We doubt that the Holy Spirit is for us. We doubt that we're good enough, or we're not spiritual enough, or we don't know God enough, and all this kind of thing. But you know, the Holy Spirit wants to put good things within our lives and within our hearts. He wants to encourage us. He wants to give us gifts. He wants to give us the touch of God that we all need. So just set your hearts a moment. I'll read again. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Now there's something in there for everyone this morning. You know, we all are part of that and belong to God. So be encouraged this morning that we can be part of this as people together. So it's great to be receptive to God, to get the receptors out and to take more and more from him. All right, and finally, just the last point I wanted to bring up this morning is, how do I practically develop prophecy in my life? Now, I put down there by Bruce Collins. Bruce has worked a lot with Julian over the last few years in New Wine. And I borrowed this book off Julian the other day. It's written by Bruce. And it's called Prophesy. That's a cunning name, isn't it, for this? All right? Prophesy. Now, the reason I put him there is because I've taken some tips out of that book directly from him. Okay, now this guy, he's probably about 60 now, Bruce, I think. I'd better say mid-50s. I better go younger. Mid-50s. But he's very experienced in operating in the Holy Spirit and allowing God to use him through the prophetic. And I've taken these next little snippet from Bruce's book directly, so all credit goes to him in that. And of course, if anything's wrong, you can go and see him if it's a problem. Okay, so the last bit, just for the last 5 minutes then, is just to go over how can I practically develop prophecy in my life. Okay, so some practical and important guidelines is to handle prophecy correctly and appropriately. And I'm just going to go through a few of these tips here. First of all, our motivation: follow the way of love. So we're not prophesying over people to look good or to imply godliness, but that we're operating out of love for God and love for the person. So a practical pointer is, before praying for a prophetic word for someone, is first of all to ask God to fill our hearts with love for that person. So we're doing things out of God's love and God's heart in it all. So it's really, we're taking away judgment from our minds. We're taking away what we think about a person. And we're asking God, God, help me to operate out of, you know, we all love for this person. Help me to love this person. So that's the first one, our motivation: follow the way of love. Secondly, our purpose. Our purpose: to comfort, to strengthen, and to encourage. That is the purpose behind sharing a prophetic word. You know, if we're going to the realms which doesn't bring that out in the prophetic word, we shouldn't be going into those realms anyway. Just really being focused on the Holy Spirit and sifting through our words as we speak them out, that this is bringing comfort, strength, and encouragement into the person. So be hungry for prophetic words which achieve these goals. Now, I can share, I've had some amazing things happen during the prophetic for myself. But there was one instance going back many years ago where a chap sort of prophesied over me, and there wasn't really much accountability going on and this kind of stuff, and it was a bit of a mismatch. But he prophesied over me, and that's all I can remember. The words he was saying was, "You've got a fundamental flaw in your life." And that was it. And I was like, I walked away from that, and for about 2 or 3 years, that sort of resonated within me, and I chatted with a few people about it, and really, that didn't really bring comfort, strength, and encouragement to my life. You've got a fundamental flaw, and you're like, I thought, oh, right, okay. I thought I dealt with that when I became a Christian, and God forgive me and all that. But realizing that through maturity, and through my walk with God, you know, that sometimes the prophetic words can be wrong if this person's attitude is wrong, for example, or this, that, and the other. But let's keep in check that our purpose is to bring comfort, strength, and encouragement. And of course, I've had to go through forgiving that guy, although I don't really know him, that God would bless him in his ministry and fill him and all this kind of stuff. You know, that, you know, just made a bit of a mess of things there. So let's be careful with our purpose. Our manner, the Apostle Paul makes clear, all prophecy must be weighed and tested, and this is like the safety net here. Indicating, so Paul indicates here that any prophecy at any time could actually be wrong, if, you know, out of this wrong sort of heart or whatever. So it's being careful that prophecy is weighed and is tested before people. So our manner then should be humble and gentle when communicating. So we're realizing that we're hearing from God, or trying to hear from God, be open to the Holy Spirit. And in that time of bringing the prophetic, actually we've got a humble and gentle attitude. So that person feels safe and realizes that, yeah, they can weigh and test this. That the words that they're hearing can be thought about, and see if they line up with God's word, and see if it lines up with how they are listening to the words. So we're not being forceful and authoritative and overpowering and creating a theatrical scene. You know, that's not what it's about. The prophetic word of God is to usher in comfort, strength, and encouragement into a person's heart. So a humble and gentle manner leaves the hearer free to weigh what has been said. Paul also taught this, let your gentleness be evident to all. So especially in the case of prophecy, let's be gentle in the way that we approach things, and careful as well. So the next point, our posture. What do I mean by that? Before others, basically, it is necessary to exercise the gift of prophecy with a submissive heart, that we're open to those around us. So let's say, for example, that we're in a small group setting, and in that setting, it is a safe environment to be open to the Holy Spirit, to pray for people, to ask for the gift of prophecy, to help us share an encouraging word. And we did this in our small group not so long ago, and Blod prophesied for the first time, and Howard, and I think Dave, and it was great, you know, just starting out in the prophetic stuff, but being open to the Holy Spirit. It's important to have our posture, and what I mean by that is that we're open to perhaps leadership, or open to other people's weighing and testing of the situation. So, for example, if I'm the small group leader, I've got pastoral responsibility over those people in the small group. Dave shares a prophetic word which he feels is from God, and, you know, as he grasps this sort of whole new concept of him of being involved in the prophetic, and he prophesies over someone. It's important for Dave's attitude now to be open and submissive before me, who has the pastoral sort of leadership there, that Dave wouldn't get uppity if his prophetic word was slightly off and I brought in, you know, some advice or encouragement, this kind of stuff, so that he isn't sort of like a lone ranger and what I says goes, but that there's actually accountability in it all. And that's why in the life of church and the prophetic, it's so important that it's accountable, that the person bringing a prophetic word is an accountable person, who is, you know, under authority, perhaps belongs to a local church. You know, we've got to be wise and careful when someone isn't linked into a local church and has authority members around him, leadership members who are pastorally responsible for him or her. So do you see God's wisdom in it? Do you see the protection that, you know, we're always listening and hearing out for the word of God and being decisive and discerning with that? So that's our posture. Being wise and careful is very important. Remembering that the prophetic voice of God is to edify, strengthen, and encourage. So, especially when we're starting out as perhaps not having a lot of experience in the prophetic, it's really fundamental that we keep hold of those key areas of strengthening, encouraging, and equipping. Because as time goes on and the prophetic develops, you know, God will start to broaden your ability to listen to the Holy Spirit. So then perhaps people like Clem Ferris, who have a prophetic, you know, he's a prophet, he's a gift to the church, who hears so clearly from God. You know, God starts using you in a bigger sort of field then, you know. He starts revealing a lot more bigger things to you. So sometimes if there was an issue that during the time that you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit may put something into your spirit, for example, that the person you're praying for perhaps was mean or tight or a bit angry, you wouldn't then go and speak those words out in front of everyone and embarrass them and humiliate them and bring correction in front of everyone. You've got to be wise in how you deal with what God has put within your spirit. So the wise thing we do is to encourage that person through your words, and then if, you know, the Holy Spirit's put within you, there's something that needs to be looked at later on, is to speak in private with the person's pastoral responsible covering, so the person's small group leader or a leader in the church, just to put that sort of word out there to the person in private, and then the pastoral leadership then has got the wisdom and discernment about that person's life and can bring in a real shepherding heart into that and, you know, use it and weigh it and test it wisely, okay? So it's being wise in how we give out the prophetic as well. And then just going through the last couple there, you've done really well for time, is timing. And now, word or not, sometimes a prophetic word we speak out, and as we're prophesying over someone and praying for them, sometimes God will instinctively put within you a word or a message which you need to hold on to just for a little moment, perhaps for a week or two, just to get the sort of interpretation right about it. So timing of the prophetic is important as well, okay? And finally, I put down here, ears open to heaven and feet on the ground. I like what Bruce has done there. So what he's saying here is, in Romans 12:6, it talks about prophesying according to the measure of faith that we have. So for a lot of us, the prophetic may be new, and we're sort of operating out of a little bit of amount of faith, because we're not a bit sure, a bit unsure, a bit, you know, just testing the water a bit. So then we keep our prophecies like simple, to the point, encouraging, this kind of stuff. But like I mentioned earlier, someone like Clem Ferris would bring in, you know, a lot more bigger clout perhaps to a prophetic word, bring in leadership or direction perhaps to a whole church or something. Now, God wouldn't necessarily, I think, put that sort of ownership onto someone who is really starting out in the prophetic. So it's a little bit about experience, keeping our feet on the ground, listening to the heart of God, getting to know God more and more. And I think we can all recognize here that our relationship with God starts in one place and it develops along the way. And we all progress at different rates in knowing the voice of God. So it's really to be full of wisdom, full of love, and full of gentleness in the prophetic. So really, those are the sort of main sort of headed points there, but there's so much literature out there, there's so much books out there, there's lots out there. So if you want to really get to grips with the Holy Spirit more and more, a DVD set that Julian has done is great. It's really helpful and practical and equipping. And, you know, get a trusted sort of resource as well, which you can read through and really get to grips with. Now, there were so many things out there, I thought, you know, I could be all week preparing this, and I just haven't got the time, sorry. So, that's a nutshell. That's an overview. So, have a good day. I shall pray. Shall I pray? Yeah, I'll pray. Okay. Yes, Lord, thank you that you're involved in our lives, that you're interested in our lives. And why not, Lord? Why not? You created us. You invented human beings. You invented taste buds. You invented so much about our lives, Lord. And we need you in our spirits, Lord. We need you to be speaking words into our hearts, Lord. We need to be encouraged as people. When we're feeling doubt or feeling low, we need to hear your truth, Lord, and your words of encouragement. And through your gifts, Lord, we do eagerly desire them. You know, we remove perhaps some unbelief. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release your prophetic gifting into our lives and all those other gifts as well, which you ask us, Lord, to desire, like children pestering their dad or their mum. And we pray that we would do that again today, Lord, that our hearts would be open to you, that we would eagerly desire the gift of prophecy within our hearts, because that brings so much encouragement into the lives of the church and into those around us. So go with us again this week, Lord. We thank you for your input and your love and your forgiveness over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.